And now, join Kevin Hart as he dives into the minds of some of your favorite celebrities. This is Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
What up, world? You already know what it is. It's another episode of Gold Mines, and I should not have to tell you what we do, because by now what we do should be embedded into your head, into your mind, more importantly, into your soul. We get inside the minds of amazing people here, and today, well, this show will be no different. Amazing is all we know, and amazing is all we do. And this person, well, let's talk about an amazing career that they have not only embarked on, but still, I should get like a bucket, of just buttons that I can start pushing that echo and like expand on the things that I say. Still is doing amazing things, guys. This one here, when I say she is a sports journalist and podcaster, you guys might have seen her on the Bleacher Report, NBA, TNT, NFL Thursday Night Football. God, the list goes on and on. Also right now is a new podcast called Too Personal with co-host Joy Taylor. And I love Too Personal as a name because this is what the brand is basically being built off of. One of the journalists that I can say that has been allowed to get in-depth conversations from a lot of the athletes that we know and love today. Please welcome to the show, Taylor Rooks. What's going on, Taylor? How are you?
Oh my goodness, what an introduction. Can you just like stay with me all the time? And anytime I go into a room, this is what you say?
No, I cannot.
That was so nice.
No, I cannot.
No, that was so nice. Thank you so much.
It's well deserved. You know, when we talk about watching people grow in real time, I think it's something that you should always highlight, just like watching a consistent line of progression. And, you know, in the space of journalism, when I say there's so many more women today that have a platform, have an opportunity, more importantly, have a voice, where it was very far few and in between, you know, in the yesteryear of how many women, especially women of color, were being given an opportunity. Yep. And today that door is open, and you see so many taking advantage. But there are women that are acting as the leaders, right? The pioneers, mm-hmm. for lack of a better word. And you're putting yourself in that position. So I think we should start and then go backwards. Let's just talk about where you are today and, you know, the feeling that you have attached to the success.
I mean, I feel really good and I feel super proud. Like, to your point about there hasn't always been a lot of women that are in this space, but now there's so many that I can point to, and we're genuinely doing it at the highest level. Like, and I always say that women should really say more how good they are at their job and how proud they are of what they're doing. Because we hear all the time when men will talk about their accomplishments and how they worked hard, but not all the time do we sit and say, I do Thursday Night Football. I do NBA on TNT. I host my show. I produce my show. I have been doing this at the highest level for a really long time. And I feel incredibly, incredibly proud of that. And I'm trying to get better at like sitting in that and really being happy about what those accomplishments are, for sure.
This is Gold Mines, hosted by Kevin Hart.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now more from Kevin Hart on Gold Mines.
Well, the dope thing when you really see the success behind you know, the women journalists of today is that there's a real love for the game or games in general. And it's talking about it as you know it and being authentic in that regard. And I think for me, you know, I've gravitated to the woman voice more and more, just when the woman voice isn't trying to do the job and trying to do what the men do. It's being yourself, being comfortable, being authentic, but having a point of view and not standing on, well, as a woman, it's just saying like, no, in this case, guys, I'm a voice that just knows the game just like you do. And it's very easy for me to speak on it. Adding stats stats to it just adds more clarity and more context. But stats, mm-hmm. no stats, breakdown positions, ins, outs, all the above, it's what I do in great detail. That's where I go and I say, oh, this is dope as shit. That's where the voices and the debates mean more. For you, the in-depth interview, like I spoke on earlier, was something that you like really got an opportunity to do. Where did that come from? Why did you make the choice to say, like, I want to see if I can get this long form content going, mm-hmm. where I can get these players to sit down, you know, in length and try to take the conversations in different directions than what these athletes may be used to or what the audience may be used to? How did you discover mm-hmm. that could be a lane for you?
Yeah, I mean, so to your point, just about when you're talking about the game, I think that I decided a long time ago that I wasn't going to come in this space and try to be like the men. Like, I was going to do the things that made me special. I was going to do the things that made me me. And as much as I like the stats and like talking about, you know, all the play-by-play and doing more of like the color commentary aspect of sport, what I really want to do is just ask questions and get to know other people. And mm-hmm. I think that in sport specifically, because with these athletes, you feel like you know so much about them, even though you've never really had a conversation with them. We have all these ideas about who they are, their narratives, their perceptions. Like, people feel like they don't like Draymond Green, for example, even though they've never spoken to him ever again. And I just wanted my space and my show to be a place where the athlete could tell you who they are. Like, you give them a space, you give them an hour to just answer questions and be able to like head on address these narratives that exist out there about them. And I don't think that we have really given athletes that time and really that real understanding to get to know who they are on a deeper level. And that was just always the thing that I wanted to do, because I've learned, honestly, people want to talk about themselves and they want to clear up the things that are out there about them that they don't think are in line with who they are. And I want my show to really be that vehicle to express yourself in the ways that feel authentic to you.
I love that. You know, I share some synergy with you there. It's like, you know, Gold Mines and Heart to Heart, these are my two, you know, platforms or entities that allow me to talk to a variety of different, you know, from talent, personnel, entrepreneurs, actresses, actors, whatever. And mm-hmm. the whole idea behind it is just engaging in authentic conversation. My reason for doing that is just because it was something that was missing. It doesn't exist in today's time. Everything is pre-programmed, predetermined, and the answers are discussed before you ask a question. You know what they're going to say, so we know where the conversation can go in. I wanted to have the unconventional be the conventional. For me, my reason mm-hmm. for doing that is because I felt like it was missing. You're saying, I wanted to have a different place in the space of journalism. Who do mm-hmm. you think was doing that or has come close to doing that before you? Like, is there anybody that you feel acted as an example or you know, a mentor to some degree, and you making the decision to say, I want to focus here, but I want to expand on it and then grow and do it more or possibly reach higher levels, but this person started to do it or this person started to do it? What were the examples of the same thing?
I mean, so this person is not a mentor, but of course, like, I love Oprah. She, I think, really started the idea of having this like long form interview space. And then I always say this and people are kind of like, what? But I think one of the GOATs, like, if you watch his interviews, it's a masterclass all the time, even though he's shock jockey, is Howard Stern. Like, feel a little uncomfortable sometimes when you say Howard Stern's name, but I truly think, because they just think he's doing it, you know, for the headlines, he's a little salacious, but that's his style. Like, you mm-hmm. know, if you're going to watch a Howard Stern interview, you're going to learn something you never knew. He's going to make mm-hmm. them feel something they maybe weren't anticipating. You're going to dive into something that you would never get anywhere else. And that is what an interview should feel like. Like, I think mm-hmm. sometimes interviews can feel to people like a waste of time. Like, if you're tuning into an interview and you're hearing the same thing that you already heard, you're wasting my time, the guest's time, the viewer's time. But Howard Stern's interviews are never a waste, because you always mm-hmm. come out of them learning something different. So I would say, even though they're like kind of on different ends of the spectrum, Oprah and Howard Stern to me are like exactly what a long form interview should feel like.
I don't think they are on different ends of the spectrum, though. I think there's more alignment between the two of them than most would expect. You know, when you talk about Howard and Oprah, you're talking about hard-hitting or not interviews that are just honest, where the questions that are asked are the questions that I feel they want to know. It's not necessarily mm-hmm. talking from the POV of the hypothetical of what the people want to know. They come from a POV of saying, well, here's something I want to ask because such and such was said, but I want to know, like, what's your stance on it? Because I saw that you said it, but do you really mm-hmm. feel that way? It's like you're talking and engaging as people. And I think when you do that, well, you get caught in that moment. It's not about the people watching, it's about our conversation of back and forth. You doing that with sports, to your point, giving the athlete a better opportunity to be understood, especially those that are misunderstood. You know, the idea of the bad guy, good guy in sports is real. So this is something that gets to kind of like give an even kill of opportunity mm-hmm. of perception.
Absolutely.
Do you think that the athletes that you have been able to interview and deal with, have they walked away with a high level of appreciation for the platforms and things that you're providing?
I mean, that's honestly one of my favorite things. Like after an interview, when the athlete just tells me how happy they are that they took the time and then I gave them the space to do that. And of course, the number one indication of that is that athletes will always come back to the show. I'll interview them once and then the next season they will always return. Because I mean, you know, the number one thing in this business is relationships. Like, how did I feel after this interaction? Did I feel like she was trying to get me into a sticky situation? Was this clickbait? Was the headline something that did not reflect well on me? Like, I'm never trying to get somebody caught up in the ways that I think sometimes we see. And more importantly, too, So I always watch the interviews of people that I'm going to talk to. So I watched some of your episodes. I loved the one with Anderson Cooper. And what I felt when I walked away from it, though, most importantly, is that you are having a real authentic back and forth. Like it's an exchange of thought. You both learned about one another through that conversation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes with interviews, it's so question, answer that you're not even giving yourselves the chance to like have a deeper meaning and like really be introspective and thoughtful in real ways. And so if that really doesn't exist in sport, like your platform, I think you're getting people that are comfortable talking about themselves, that feel like, you know, they have been empowered to say these things about themselves. And in sport, I don't know that they always feel that way. So I want it to always feel like those conversations that you were having with Anderson. And in that, I think you even spoke about how a lot of the times people will speak just to reply, not because they want to listen and understand. And I think interviews generally are losing that in some ways and really in sport. So I always want the space to feel like that.
You are 1000% right. You know, when you talk about people that are listening to answer and not listening to understand, that's what I call it. It's like, you know, when me and my wife, we go back and forth, I'm like, I don't mind if we're ever going to debate or argue. I just ask that when we're talking, that we're giving each other the opportunity to really be understood by taking in the information and not waiting until we're done so that you can then talk. And I think in interviews, that's the best skill. The best skill is like really listening and having a reply based off of what you just heard, not based off of what you were ready to say and that you're waiting to say. I think the idea of the safe space for the athlete is so dope just because in today's time, you know, sports and the want and need of the public point of view of your top line athletes for some reason is like highlighted in a manner that I just can't understand. Right.
It's like outrageous.
It's so insane. You know, you know, I get it where people are like, well, Kevin, with such as going on in the world, what do you got to say about that? We want to hear from you. And I'm, what the fuck you want to hear from me for? Last I checked, I'm goddamn writing jokes and scripts and producing. What the fuck have I done in my life to make you feel like my point of view on world like domination or not is what we need? I was like, who is in the office pointing to my name? And if that's the case, we're in trouble. We're in trouble as a country if we're waiting for Kevin Hart. And it's the same thing with athletes, right? Like when they, you know, Brian gets a lot of it. You know, Brian, we want to hear you talk. What's your stance on such and such? And it's like, you know, the idea that the words being said are words that should be held on to and should be followed. It's one that's a little, it's just grown more and more ridiculous by the day. Getting back to the game and getting back to talking about the game and talking about the thing that these players have embraced and, you know, basically devoted their lives to over the course of time. That's another thing that I feel needs to be re-energized, right? Like,
yeah.
As a journalist, it's like making sure we understand, like, we're talking about the game that these people play at the highest level in the world. We're talking to the best players in the world. Do you or have you fallen into that trap of, based off of the want or needs for the platforms or the people that you're working for? Have you ever been pushed to, like, go and we want to hear about this, push them to talk about this or push them to talk about that? Or have you been able to kind of follow and create your own agendas to date? What's that play?
Well, I'll say one thing about me. I only do what I want. So there's nobody at the places that is saying, okay, this is what we want you to talk about, so make sure you do that. But I am never nervous or apprehensive to ask a question because I think there's a right way to ask literally anything. I feel no fear to ask a question that needs to be answered. And I also think it's important to understand too, like, what the athlete genuinely feels passionate about. The things that are outside of sport that they want to discuss, I am more than happy to oblige because I'm more than happy to learn about them. But I don't think that they have to be held to or at a different standard than other people simply because they are athletes. That does not make sense to me. That we kind of say, okay, they have this platform, so this thing that they are saying has to mean more. Like, why are we holding athletes to a higher standard than our politicians? Like, we do that all the time. And even their consequences to a lot of their actions are way, way, way more like stringent than anyone else who has actually signed up to be a thought leader and world changer. So while what they are saying is equally as important because it's what they feel, it can't be put to a higher degree. And I think that we are beginning to do that in some ways. But what athletes do have is an incredibly unique perspective. Like, I was in the bubble for 2 months. And so obviously in 2020, there was a lot going on, and athletes, rightfully so, felt incredibly empowered to discuss their experiences as Black men in this country, as Black athletes in this country. And everyone wanted to make sure they had that space to do that. And luckily, and I think this is actually really good, they are discussing the Black experience as much as they should, because that is something you know, regardless. You have been a Black man your entire life. You can speak about what that means more than anybody else. And I love that they are continuing to do that. But we have to be able to look at this through the lens of just what their experience is, and not that these words that they are saying is a soliloquy that every single person needs to live by. We just have to appreciate who they are as individuals.
You know, you mentioned the bubble. I got to take you back to that moment. Of course, such a tough time for the athletes, right? For so many reasons, not just the ones you named, but, you know, just for the mental of it all, you know, missing the fanfare, the engagement, that live interaction. You know, how hard was that on you covering that, being down there during that time? I can only imagine that, you know, it had the same wear and tear. Was there ever a moment where, you know, you reached like what I would like to call the breaking point of like, what the fuck? Like, why the fuck?
Or this why am I eating this turkey sandwich again?
Yes, why am I still here and in it? And do I want to? Like, did you reach any moment or point of frustration during that time?
I'll tell you one thing. I don't plan on ever going to Disney World ever. Like, I am not returning. I don't care. Yeah. One day I'm going to have kids. They're going to talk about going to Disney World. I'll say your dad can take you. Because I will never be back in Orlando. You know, the bubble was so interesting and so incredibly stressful, but also it was so good for my career. But like, my bubble moment started very rocky because when you first get there, you have to quarantine in your hotel room for 7 days. And I mean a real quarantine. Like, if you were to open your door, it was like snipers. Like, you were like, don't open that door. Everyone is looking at you. You cannot open that door for 7 days. On the second day when I took my COVID test during my quarantine, it came back positive. And I'm like, God, am I going to get kicked out of this bubble?
Oh, God.
Turned out to be a false positive, but they had to add quarantine days onto it. It was a whole mess already. Then you genuinely are getting tested every single day, multiple times a day. And it's so stressful because you just think something's going to like come back. And so you have to get kicked out of it. But with the COVID trauma aside, it was hard, of course, to be away from your friends and your family. Mm-hmm. That was the most difficult aspect of it. But it was really cool to be a part of something that was the first and an only. Like, I think we just really glaze over the fact that the greatest basketball players in the world were living in the same place for 2 months, just playing pickup games. And we were watching it on TV. It was nuts. It was like summer camp. Yeah. Like LeBron and AD are riding bikes around the bridge. And you're just seeing like Jason Tatum sitting at the island bar. Like, it was nuts. So as bad as it was, and I don't mean to sound insensitive, of course, it was also very, it was very, I think, beneficial and enlightening to the media members that were there to be a part of something that was genuinely unprecedented.
And I mean, I feel like the media members that got an opportunity to be there, you're talking about the creme de la creme, you know, of the media. So even although a shitty situation, you know, this is also it's a panic, right? We're like, look, we can't lose the eyesight of visibility and the experience that we feel we have to give the fans in some way. Let's call in those that we know can cover this properly, can still add excitement and bandwidth. So I think it's pretty dope for you to be in that, to be involved. And right now, you know, of course, like you said, that was such a great moment for you in your career, and you see the benefit of it. You see the result
and
what you're doing now. As you notice, because of how good I am as an interviewer, I'm starting at the top and I'm going backwards. My big question now is like,
I'm taking notes.
Well, my big question now is like, well, how do we get here? Right? You know, how do we get to saying, you know what, this is what I'm going to do? When did that light bulb go off for you that my career is best served in a place of sports and telling the story through the eyes of the athletes in a manner that I can cover, in a manner that I can basically showcase and highlight correctly? When did you say, this is going to be my career? How old were you? When did the light bulb go off for you?
Yeah, well, it first came when I realized I was not going to be a good athlete, if I'm being completely honest. I knew that I wasn't going to be Serena, I wasn't going to be Lisa Leslie, but I knew I wanted to be around sport.
What'd you play?
So when I was growing up, I ran track, played soccer, played tennis, dabbled in everything. But I was just like, I would say incredibly, incredibly mediocre. I was just really, really fast. And more than anything, I'm from a family of athletes. So I knew what it looked like to be genuinely great at a sport. And I knew that that isn't what I was doing. But I always love talking about it.
I just want to make sure that we're correct, because I want to say this for my listeners so they understand. What she's basically saying is that because of her family and because of like her surrounding, she realized early on that she wasn't shit. I had the same realization. When you, there's a moment.
I knew my limits. Go, we know ourselves. We know ourselves.
There's a moment when you go, you know what? You know what? This is fucking stupid. Like, I'm not hitting the ball that fast. I'm not jumping that high. I don't get the same oohs and ahs. I'm going to put this goddamn
They not clapping.
Ball.
They not clapping. Yeah. Yeah. This ball not bouncing the way it should be. Like, let me
sit out of my ass down and grab this book, this microphone. 100%. Let me figure this out. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
My dear parents, though, always encouraged me, even though they knew I was not going to be that girl. But yes, I loved sports and grew up in a sports family, and I'm Southern. So it's just like you live, breathe, and eat football. It's just genuinely ingrained in me. But I was just posting these videos on my page the other day. I used to set up our camcorder and like interview myself. I would ask myself questions and I'd have a role. Some days I was a singer. Some days I was an athlete. Some days I was the president or a dancer. And I just enjoyed like asking questions. You know that like really annoying kid that does not shut the fuck up? That was me. I had a question every minute of the day. And luckily for my parents, they encouraged it. So I never felt like I was the annoying kid, even though looking back, I totally know I was. And I just always thought that was really cool that you could ask a question, which is the literally easiest thing to do, and you could learn something about someone. Like, I've always genuinely been a people person. I've really always loved being in front of the camera. I've always just loved how it made you feel to know that people were listening to what you had to say. And sometimes I don't think people feel like they can be honest about that. I think that people feel like it means something to be like, I liked being in front of the camera, or I liked the attention of what that meant. But when I was younger, I always felt like I wanted to feel significant. And I don't think that people should feel nervous about saying that. I just thought it meant something really nice for your voice to mean something to a lot of people.
That's dope. That's dope.
And so I just leaned into that and asked a lot of questions. And then when I went to college, I knew I wanted to really, really go for it. And so I just made a decision, and that's what my path charted from then out.
When you say really, really go for it, you made a decision. Like, explain that better for me. Like, what was it about the college, or what did you do in college that was very specific to say, here's where I'm going? Are we talking about like the major of choice, or was it switching majors? Like, what was it when you say, I made the decision?
Yeah. So when I had to pick my major, I was deciding, okay, do I want to do something like business that feels safe and you could just figure it out? Regardless of what happens, or do I want to do what I love, which was broadcast journalism? And I knew that it wasn't a thing I could teeter on, because something I was sure of is that everybody that is really, really good at something, they dedicated to it. So I couldn't say that I wanted to be a journalist and I loved being on air while I was majoring in business and had like a blog on the side. I had to decide I wanted to be that person. So I majored in broadcast journalism, started my blog, was sending like incessant emails to people all the time just to get whatever interviews I could get. Luckily, people obliged, and I was able to do some really good work, which led to other work in school, which led to my first job. And so I, above all else, in a lot of ways, have gotten really, really lucky. So I feel super thankful. But I also was working really hard, and I made a choice, and I stuck with that choice.
More Gold Mines with Kevin Hart after this. Now more from Kevin Hart on Gold Mines.
Do you remember what your first breakthrough of response at the emails that you were sending? Do you remember like getting a response back that was like, oh my God, they fucking responded. Like, I'm going to get X, Y, and Z on the blog. Like, what was your first big one that you felt was your oh my God moment?
Yeah, 100%. So my friend and I both wanted to work in sports at University of Illinois, and we emailed the NBA, I'm not kidding you, probably 60 times, just asking if they would credential us for All-Star Weekend for us to go and get interviews. I was like 19 years old, sophomore in college. They, for whatever reason, said yes. On the 61st email, they agreed. They said, okay, we'll give you these credentials. It was like a level one credential. They're like, you're not going to get close to these NBA players. Y'all are crazy. But they gave us a credential. We drove all the way from Champaign, Illinois to Orlando, Florida for 2012 All-Star Weekend, and somehow finessed to the high level credential. And I was able to get interviews with like LeBron, KD, D-Wade, like quick one hitters. It was the first time and only time, rest in peace, I got to meet Kobe Bryant. So it's like a really, really special like memory me. But that email, like, hey, you gotta bother people sometimes. It works. Yes. Sometimes it gets you the credential. So that's the one I remember that really led to a lot of things. And the first time I thought to myself, I could do this. Like, I could hold my own in this room with very, very seasoned vets in the media business, but also with the best of the best in the NBA. And that was a huge moment for me.
As you talk about like expanding, and well, it's not that we've talked about it, but I'm going to talk about expansion. You know, we're talking about NBA, but then there's an NFL component of covering Thursday Night Football to your career as well. Is there hopes to kind of tackle it all, right? To really just start to be like, you know, the representation and voice that can go in any environment and talk any game, and not only be prepared, but be poised, polished, and comfortable. Are you looking to do that? Are you looking to continue to push more as FIFA is coming, you know, and when is FIFA coming to the States? It's like, is that I know it's soon. I know they're doing like this big thing, but you know, is covering FIFA the next thing? Is it, you know, the goddamn Grand Slam? Is it Masters? Like, is there a bigger goal or bigger appetite for you at this point?
Yeah. I mean, I would say like, I want everything. Like, I don't want to be put into a category. I think that categories really are like a limit. It's another word for a limit. And even with me wanting to, like, I was doing the NBA for so long and I loved the NBA. I hope to do it forever. But people started to think of me as the NBA girl. So I said, I have to expand. I have to do something different. So we added Thursday Night Football. So people are like, okay, she can cover whatever. I've interviewed boxers. I've interviewed soccer players. Like, I have interviewed probably every sport. I have an interview with Wayne Gretzky next month. Like, I try to do whatever because I don't want someone to say I can't do something. I want to be as versatile as possible. Like, I don't want to be put into a box. And I certainly don't want to be the person that created that box for myself. So if I am asked to do something, if there is a person that has something to say, and that's the beauty of interviewing. Like, Kevin, you can have anybody on your show because anyone can have a conversation. And that's what I love about it. You can't say to me, you can only speak to NBA players or NFL players. Like, I am speaking to anyone that has a story and anybody that will answer a question. So not only do I want everything, I genuinely believe I can do everything. And up to this point, I think I have shown that. I was literally about to say the same exact thing.
Like, it's very clear that you are not just saying these things, but you are an action item, right? The proof of concept is in the resume, and the resume has so much underneath it now. Another thing that I would love to ask is, like, you know, as you're talking about more or doing more, you know, outside of this space, everything sets up another. Is there a want for the world of business outside of the business that you are now partaking in? You know, entertainment has so many doors that you can open. And I only say this because, you know, the podcast, right? That's a different level of journalism. So that's you saying, all right, well, I'm going to now do this, and me and Joy are going to have our own show. And this is going to act as another extension to the tree that I have and the branches that are there. So is there want for more on top of that? And also tell me, like, why the podcast and how that came about.
So for your first question with the want, I think for sure, I think the just like the business generally interests me, and I love producing. So it would be nice to do something where I was behind the camera. And I've been thinking a lot about more of that non-scripted type of stuff and what's missing in the sports space and also other spaces. So I'm open to like trying everything, truly. Like, I mean it when I say that, and doing everything. I think it's important to see what you're good at and see what you're bad at and kind of expand from there. But with Joy and I, and too personal, I'll speak for me. I felt like I had put so much out there in the sports world. You were always seeing, you know, interviewing and asking questions, but I have been kind of so private and to myself that I felt like if I'm going to ask people all these things, I have to put more of myself out there too. I don't like to talk about myself. I genuinely love to give other people a spotlight and a mic. And this is really my time to talk about my experiences and how I have been shaped and my emotions and what I feel and my thoughts on culture and society and women and doing something honestly for women. Sports mainly, and historically, I feel like a lot of our fan base have been men, but there's also a lot of women that genuinely love sports and love the personalities and haven't always felt like they could dig deeper into the people that they are watching deliver their sports news. So we wanted to create something that was genuinely a space for women too. And too personal, I think just it adds another dimension and allows me to be more of a complex person and like show people what I'm actually like, and not just through the lens of me as a television personality.
Well, you can become an incubator, right? Like, if you really look at it, it's bigger than just being an example. Creating the thing, as you're talking about producing, that's built to, you know, navigate the women that genuinely have a love for the game or games, you know, positioning them in a place for they for them to talk about the games. You know, what do those round tables look like? What are those, you know, conversations look like? You know, we see the barbershop, but what's the salon? I mean, you can do the same thing and really like really pay homage to a lot of those different spaces and areas. I think, you know, through a strong voice. And I there's so many that want to do what you're doing and that are looking at what you're doing. And I promise you that are inspired and motivated by it. It's just understanding how to build from it. That's what you have the opportunity to do.
Yeah. Those are two golden nuggets, by the way. Yeah.
Those are two golden nuggets.
Hey, you're giving me a lot of them. I'm into it, but you're absolutely right. Yeah. Absolutely right. I was talking to the salon. Yes.
I'm serious.
I like it.
Would be great. Yes,
I'm into it. Yeah, but this comes easy to you. You're a creative. You can just you can think about it all. Yeah.
Random fast moment. Go ahead. I won't cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. I was saying to your point, I was actually talking to really Stephen A about this because I feel so inspired by the vehicles that he has been able to create for himself. He has an entire show outside of what he's doing on ESPN where he can literally talk about whatever the hell he wants to talk about. Mm-hmm. Like, so people feel like they really know Stephen A. Like, whether you like him or not, you have made that decision because he has shown you who he is. And I just don't know if I had anything before the podcast to really show who and what I am. So I felt very like moved by the vehicles that Steven is able to have, that Shannon's able to have, like things that are outside of sport, and no one is batting an eye because they understand that you are more than what you do. Like you are a person outside of who you are in TV. And I just want to continue to be able to push that for women. Because there's a reason you don't always see women in sports have any sort of vehicle that does not have to do with sports. And I just want women to feel like they can do that.
You're breaking new ground, right? Like you're stepping out of the conventional like concept or road that's attached to success in the space of journalism, right? And the personalities of journalism of old were only displayed through the format that they worked on. So you're in a box. So, you know, navigating outside those waters was never really the thing. It was never really welcomed or actually just a focusing point. It was more just about you're here, talk about this, here's the stats, and get back to you. And there's a couple of maybe funny ha-has here and there, but ultimately we're not doing that, you know, we're not doing that more. We're doing it less. So when you 100%. Talk about creating the thing that allows you to go, look, here's how I feel. That to me, that's a completely different thing. And I feel like there's some that started to do that, but that took the consequences of the actions and they walked so others could run, you know.
Totally.
I would say Jay Hill, right? You know, like she,
the success
she was having and what she was doing and, you know, taking an opportunity to say, look, I'm going to use this for more than that. And my voice and my opinions, I feel like I should be able to talk. And at a time where it seemed like we were moving in more of that direction because so many were, the consequences to her actions were different, more severe than now. She's able to go out and manage and you know, talk and speak more free than she ever was able to do before. But as you're talking about, well, I'm going to do that, but I'm going to set up an entity that allows me to do that. The separate list. It's now learning and navigating better.
And I think too, I agree. Because I think something I realized is like, they try to trick you. Like they try to trick you into thinking the success comes by you doing what you have been doing over and over. And I think it's actually that you have to be able to change. Like you have to be able to evolve and constantly reinvent yourself. I actually think the more that you stay the same, you're actually hurting your chances of success. Like it has to be a constant evolution, I feel like, in this business. And I actually have a question for you because for me, like doing this podcast, talking about myself has been something very new to me. So even when you have an opinion and everybody has 80,000 opinions on it, even the first episode, I was very surprised by how rash the response was, how rash these opinions were. So for you, somebody who has always used your voice, like you do comedy, it's like social satire, like you are always giving your opinions. How did you get used to knowing that, like, with every output, there was going to be input too?
I mean, that's the, well, first of all, it's the times that we're living in, right? And I think, well, here, okay, I can break it down like this. I'm 44 now, so I'm older, I'm as seasoned as one can be. And I saw social media start, and I now see how much has grown, but now what the change in opinion in person is to date. And we're in a time now where there is nothing that can be said without a divisive, like, opportunity of voice.
It's crazy. Yeah. Right?
Like everything, nothing is said and accepted as just an opinion of one. The opinion of one gets split down the middle, and there's no more like, oh, okay, well, you know, I don't agree with that. And that's fine. There's more, well, if you don't agree with what I said, then you're wrong. And if you're wrong, then you're a dickhead. And yeah. If I'm right, then I'm right forever. There is no, balance. There's no middle common ground of balance. So, you know, I'm very comfortable with knowing that I just have a lot of common sense. And, you know, those that do have common sense understand at the highest level. And those that don't are a little more rational. I'm not here to change people. I'm not here to prove to people. I'm here to try my best to provide or present things that I feel will make people happy. That's how I feel. And if it's received, great. If it isn't, well, maybe I didn't do a good job of that one, and I'll try better on the next one. I'm comfortable with being happy with my attempts and my effort within self. So it's very hard to break me down. It's very hard to, like, get through or put a chink or crack in my armor. My armor is just, it's put on not as a manner of defense, but just because I know that strays are coming at all times, and just in case, I just want to be protected. So my mind is protected. And my mind is protected just because there's a strong idea attached to level setting.
For sure.
Really good at having a level set. Like, and I think that's what's most important, especially, you know, me in my space, but you in your space. You're going to have things that you say attached to the talent that people watch on a day-to-day basis. And some people are going to say, yo, that's stupid. Why would you say that? I can't believe you said that. That's stupid as shit. Everything she says is stupid. Well, I thought
she's the worst.
What are you talking about? Like, if, just say you don't agree with it. It's like,
it's wild. Yeah. Cause what you're speaking to too, is, I think, really important, is that you're taking all this for what it is. Like, you're not going to be affected by this influx of opinions because you're understanding that not every opinion should really hold weight. And, like, not every opinion is a productive one. So if you're going to get too caught up in, like, what the reaction is, you're going to be caught up forever, because some people, feel like, some people will react just to try to make you feel away. They just want to start an argument. They just want to have their voice, like, be heard and make it, like, to your point, this very divisive thing. I just think you have to almost take the internet and the reactions for what they are and not internalize what that is.
Well, I gave somebody an example, right? And they were like, Kevin, like, how do you feel, you know, about critics, like, attached to your movies? Like, if you get bad reviews or good reviews, does it affect you? And I was like, no, like, why would it ever affect me? I said, you know why they make so many movies a year? Because they're trying to make movies for all. They're trying to make movies for everyone to enjoy. Everybody doesn't like animation. Everybody doesn't like comedy. Everybody doesn't like action. Everybody doesn't like horror. Everybody doesn't like a dramedy. Everybody doesn't like documentaries. scripted, unscripted. Everybody doesn't like real series and multi-camera. They make all this because they're trying to fit or trying to give options for the masses. I said, the option is one of choice. If you choose to not watch or you choose to not like, that's your choice. It's fine. You should be okay with that either way. And the people on the receiving end should be okay with that. You had 82 games in a basketball season. After you have an opinion on game one, well, game two is getting played whether people like it or not.
Absolutely. That's a great way to put it.
It's going to be another game, man.
I'm
going to be there for that one too. So it doesn't matter. And you know, I just think like people put so much on the words of others when they're just words.
A critic is just another word for a person.
It's one person. Yeah. You spoke on Howard Stern, and you're like, you know, whether you hate him or love him, here's the reality. He's been on the radio for 80 years.
He's been on the radio for
80 years. So regardless of how some may feel, you also have to understand that there's a mass amount of people that feel different.
Yeah.
So the idea of hate sometimes seems louder than the reality of love. And the reality of love and numbers and proof of concept is different. You can't beat that.
You have to decide what you give volume to. Like if you turn out the bad shit, of course it's louder. But if you 1,000%. Turn off all the other things, and not even just the other thing, just the proof, the fact that Howard Stern is still on the radio, the fact that you know his name, the fact that he makes you feel a way, like that is actually the substance. And the other stuff is kind of just noise.
Well, you talked about Stephen A, and you're like, look at the different things and, you know, the entities, you know, that he's created and that he has. But you can go to Stephen A for every 7 amazing things, you probably got 2 bad things. But there's a reason why he's moving forward. You cannot feed into that. You can't. None of it matters. You're moving forward. You're going to continue to move forward. And as you do, and as you get bigger, the conversation will appear to be louder. Mm-hmm. It will appear to be louder. And it's only because is what some may seem to focus on more. But I promise you, it's not louder than the love and then, you know, the words that those are saying attach to you doing your job at a high level. Like, that's what I see. I see that. I see forward progression. So to put a button on it and I think wrap the answer and end with like solution for you, I promise you this. You are a part of the now change in journalism that will be attached to women not being highlighted as the first woman or the next woman to do. It will be the norm because the comfort of how you approach your job is the comfort that should be like associated with women in the space. It shouldn't be a ooh, ah moment. And now when I watch ESPN and I see the volume of women that are sitting next to the men, and I see the chemistry and the cohesiveness and talking about the game at the highest level, it's because it's understood. Mm-hmm. It's understood that it's easy and it shouldn't be hard. And you're a part of the conversation of easy. You make your job look easy, Taylor. And to me is the talent. The talent is when the work doesn't look like work.
I appreciate that, truly. Thank you. I needed to hear that. That truly made my day. I appreciate you. Before we go, I want to say this. So I have been very lucky to have just sort of observed you from afar at different things, whether it's any like a Michael Rubin event. I watched you host the Reform Gala. I'll see you at the White Party. You did Thursday Night Football. And something that has always been really cool to me is just to see how loved you are. Like in these spaces, you have such genuine, deep connections with these people. And I can tell how much you care about others, but also the work that you're doing, how much you cared about hosting that. And as someone who has watched you for a large part of my life, to also have been able to observe and see you and see that you are the things that I would think you are is really special. So I just want you to know that the presence and the impact that you have on others is always seen. And I appreciate the words you just gave me and also just your overall existence. So thank you for having me on your show.
You are dope as hell. I appreciate your kind words. Gold Mines is about flowers. Gold Mines is about expansion. It's about progression. It's about information. And it's information that shouldn't just be for me. It's information that's for these listeners. At the end of the day, gems should always be given. They should not be kept. Guys, you get a ton of them here, right? Learning one's journey, understanding their reason. More importantly, just now giving a shit about their why. Walk away with a different level of respect and understanding. Taylor gave us that today. This is Gold Mines. It doesn't get any better. I appreciate you, Taylor. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Gold Mines with Kevin Hart is a SiriusXM and Laugh Out Loud radio production and executive produced by Kevin Hart, Mike Stein, Brian Smiley, Eric Eddings, and Eric Weil. Produced by Danny Sellers and Leslie Guam. Engineered by Danny Sellers.